Okay, welcome everybody. We are going to go ahead and get started. Thank you all so much for being here. Thank you for His Holiness Satchinanda Swami for joining us. Thank you for all of the devotees and guests from all over the world. As always, we have various esteemed guests in our presence, Her Grace Rukmini Devi, other disciples of Srila Prabhupada that are here. If we don't can't see everybody, I only see 20 people on my screen, but I'm grateful for all of you for being here. My name is Doyle Garanga Das. I'm part of our online Sangha group here at the Bhakti Center, and we are co-hosting this event with a variety of other yatras in the Northeast area of the United States, which we will mention and recognize later. This is part two of a four-part series on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu leading up to his appearance day at the end of this month. We have His Holiness Satchinanda Swami joining us for all four of these series. Last week, he spoke on the tattva, or the philosophical foundation of who is Lord Chaitanya. And today and next week, he'll be speaking about the Leela of Sri Chaitanya and his pastimes, which will, of course, be mixed with various lessons and sweet stories. His Holiness Satchinanda Swami, I feel like, needs no introduction, but I will just take a moment to honor and share how he is a leader in the bhakti movement for several decades, been a lifelong renunciate. He travels around the world when there's not a pandemic, sharing Krishna bhakti, philosophy, songs, and kirtan. As always, I feel like I need to mention his infectious smile lights up the universe. I have stories of people, Maharaj, who have told me that they've just simply seen your smile and they thought, whatever that man has, I know I need it. Whatever is causing that smile, I need that in my life. And we're grateful that you're going to be sharing a little bit of what you have with us, a taste for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes and Leela with us. Maharaj will speak for roughly about an hour, at which time we will pause and accept questions from all of you, the listeners. If you'd like to ask a question, we'd like you to please type it into the chat to Yashoda Dalal. He will field all of the questions and ask them on your behalf. There may be too many questions to get to, but please send your question. We would try our best to answer them. And without further ado, we will turn it over to His Holiness Satchinanda Swami. Thank you so much, Maharaj. We're glad that you're here. And we look forward to being enlightened by you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I would also like to affectionately welcome everyone on this call. As Daya Guranga has informed us, we are really trying here to build up towards the appearance day of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I think in order to really experience the avatar of Gauranga, we need to prepare our field, so the field of our heart, so that the seeds which we now will hear find their root, take their roots in our hearts. Information is like a seed, and it is necessary that it grows into a plant which gives fruit. This holds true especially in the spiritual domain. We hear many things during these presentations, but these are only seeds which we need to plant into the hopefully fertile field of our heart. A heart is fertile when we are when it's inquisitive, really. And then it can really develop into something wonderful. Thus, I always consider such programs as therapeutic. In a good therapy, something happens to the listener or the participant, and something grows where there was an empty space before. So before starting today, I would like to guide all of you in a mantra which our magician Venkatabhata will put before us on the screen. It's a verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, and it is an obeisance to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Here it is. I will say the verse, and you please all repeat after me. Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Everybody. Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Nityanando Sahodito. Nityananda Sahodito. Gaudodaye Pushpavanto. Gaudodaye Pushpavanto. Shitro Shando Tamonudo. To Shando Tamonudo. Wonderful. We can take now the slide off and concentrate on what we are having ahead of us. Today I would like to talk about the wonders of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you want to say miracles, then this is also a good way to say. It's all these things where we hear how a divine personality acts outside the laws of nature and reveals his amazing influence on our heart. In spirituality, you will find such revelations that take place outside the laws of nature. For instance, there is one mountain in China. It starts with V, and up to this day, those Buddhists who go there see within a red circle Buddha coming floating through the air. The Christians have these extraordinary events. For instance, they celebrate how Jesus, after the crucifixion, rose to heavens. The Muslims, they have a walk during the pilgrimage where they go between the two hills of Safa and Marwa and imitate Hagar's search for water in the desert. And up till now, water comes rushing out of the desert during these things. There are many, many, many examples which we could use where we can see extraordinary things that defy the laws of nature happening. Some of them are not so much extraordinary, and if you know a little big magic, you could also do this without spiritual influence. But what we will hear today is definitely an intrusion of a divine personality, an appearance of a divine personality within this world, making breaking the laws of nature and doing something very extraordinary. Here in this verse which we have just chanted all together, we celebrated Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda, who rise like the sun and the moon over the sky. And these are analogies for enlightenment when the sun rises. How does the enlightenment happen which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brings into our life? What is the divine miracle? Well, when we contact him, we come in contact with spiritual knowledge, the Bhagavatam, and we come in contact with saints. any slight contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bring you closer to the Bhagavatam, and it brings you also somehow or other more into contact with divine personalities. This is or divinely inspired Bhagavatas. Anyone who has met the Sankirtan party, where devotees go on the streets and sing, has seen quite after some time, quite soon, these two miracles working. He all of a sudden came in contact with spiritual wisdom, as it is narrated in the Bhagavatam, and he also came in contact with made a good contact with the Bhagavata, a person who lives it. I know that many of you who are on this call started reading the Bhagavatam and have met a pure devotee. Some of you are even initiated, many of you. So this is due to the ongoing miracle of Lord Chaitanya's divine influence even in this time. But today I want to talk on other things, on a divine mystery that reveals itself often in irrational, or you could say transrational ways, where the laws of nature that bind us ordinary human beings are superseded and left behind. I always say, when God comes, he doesn't have to follow the traffic rules of this world. No need. He acts out outside this narrowing parameter. Well, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this world, how was it? Well, the scriptures tell us that he had not come the way you and me have come, by the combination of the seminal discharge and the oven. No. 12 months before his appearance, he appeared first in the mind of Jagannath Mishra, and from there, from the mind, the enlightened mind, moved into the heart of Sachi Devi, and then took his residence in her sanctified womb. He was born under a tree. It was an open-air birth. And therefore his nickname became Nimai, after the neem tree under which he was born. This name was also given to him because six of his sisters who first took their birth had left the world right after seeing the light of the day. Neem trees are seen in India as having a very auspicious influence, especially they are good medicines against ghosts. So it was he was given the name of a tree, Nimai, to have an auspicious name and auspicious atmosphere around him. And he was also called Gauranga for something quite extraordinary. Those who are born in India have usually a dark complexion, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defied all the rules of you know better, you are from English-speaking countries. He had a golden complexion, and therefore he was called Gauranga, the one with golden limbs. His horoscope showed something amazing. He would be an intellectual giant, a world teacher, and a savior of many people, because in fact he was an avatar. Avatar means someone who comes from another dimension and crosses into our dimension and takes on a form in three-dimensional space and acts wonderfully. On his body there were 32 auspicious signs that marked him as a Mahapurushika, an extraordinary personality. For instance, long, long arms that reached below his knees. But what was maybe most unusual was that his beautiful little feet showed imprinted signs of a thunderbolt, a conch, a fish, and a lotus flower. Once, when he was quite small, his parents came into the room and they saw these footprints in the dust, and from this they could understand their unusual son with these amazing footprints had walked over the ground. If you would look at your feet, there would be only boring lines and signs of aging, but you would not see these amazing footprints which are also found on Krishna's lotus feet and so on. Even as a baby, the Lord hinted at a mission which we will look at a little later, that is to spread the chanting of the holy name. Often he would cry, and his crying would only stop if the neighboring ladies who came would start to sing the auspicious holy names. Hare Krishna, Hari Haraye Nama Krishna, Yadavaya Namaha, etc. Govinda Gopala Ram. So soon they knew the idea of the little baby. The little baby would cry, and they would come and they would start to sing the holy name, and little Nimai would raise his arms and smile. So they knew, yes, he likes chanting. One time, an astrologer came to his house to offer his services to the residents. At that time, the Lord was a little older, and he came to the all-knowing astrologer. That's how he is introduced in the sacred text. It meant this astrologer could tell past, present, and future of someone. And smilingly, the Lord asked him, welcome to our house, O all-knowing astrologer. Tell me, please tell me, who I was in my previous life. So the astrologer had received some information from the parents, and he immediately sat down to make his calculations and afterwards went into a deep meditation. There, in his meditation, he saw the greatly effulgent body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And from his body came countless divine Vaikuntha planets. The astrologer was not prepared for that, and he sat speechless. All of a sudden he heard again the question, please, all-knowing astrologer, you have become very silent, but please tell me who I was in my previous life. And this shook the astrologer out of his trance, and he said, idea a lot. In your previous birth, you were the supreme personality of Godhead, full of all opulences. You are now the same, the shelter of unlimited creations. And to look at you produces an inconceivable happiness in my heart. So as the Brahmana spoke so highly of him, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped him and said, I don't think you understand very clearly my past life, for I know that in my previous life I was a cowherd boy. I gave protection to the calves and the cows, and because of this pious activity, I have now become the son of a Brahmana. However, the astrologer could not deny what he had seen. He had seen a divine revelation, and he said, I'm sure that what I saw was correct. It was full of opulence and ecstasy. I saw the divine kingdom of God, and then I saw from you emanating all the energies which build up creation. If you make me now see something different, it's only your illusory energy. Whatever you may be, or whoever you may be, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw this great devotee of his, who had made this astrological sign, astrological telling or reading, his heart melted and he reciprocated with the astrologer by giving him something that is so precious that not even the President of the United States has it, what to speak of other people. It's love of Godhead, ecstatic, abiding love of Godhead, which puts a personality immediately into his original, clear state of being, being a part of the Lord. And so this was the astrologer who had seen this. He had seen something that was confirmed by an itinerant Brahmana. There are these Brahmanas or spiritualists who travel around. Some of them are on a pilgrimage. They want to go to a holy place. Some of these mendicants are simply, let us say, at home only in their body. They don't have another house than their body. This was a greatly exalted person who worshipped a little form of Lord Gopal. When Jagannath Mishra, the father of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, saw him wandering nearby, he said, please come, please allow me to arrange that you can cook in our house. So he got the vegetables, the pots, and made a fire. And the itinerant Brahmana began to cook for his little deity while all the time chanting the Lord's holy name. Then the moment came when the food was prepared and he carried it on the altar and closed his eyes to say the mantra through which he offered the food. But in the midst of offering, he opened the eyes a little bit and he saw the boy, the son of his host, climbing up the altar and eating the food. Now, when you offer the Lord some foodstuffs, it should not have been tasted before by anyone. It is for him. He is the first taster and the first enjoyer. And in this this regimen, the offering was considered to be spoiled. So the Brahmana shouted, "Oh no, no, now I have to do the cooking process. Again, I anyways don't like to cook so long." But on the request of Jagannath Mishra, he started, cooked, and when everything was off, ready for offering, and it stood on the altar, again the little boy came and ate. So the Brahmana said, "Alas, alas, it is already dark. Today I'm not meant to eat, and Gopal also wants to fast. I'm not going to try a third time." But at this moment, an unusual boy, the older brother of little Nimai, came. He was a boy, a prodigy. He was still a little child, but he knew all the scriptures by heart. His name was Vishwarup, and he said, "No, do not become subjected to disappointment. Try another time." This time, they took the Nimai away. They put him into a house with his mother. They locked the house, and Jagannath Mishra with a stick stood guard before the door to make sure that this would not happen again. So the Brahmana, although it was night, started to cook again, being convinced by the little brother of Nimai. And as he was placing the cooked item lovingly in front and was just in the midst of the mantras, he looked again, and again he saw the little boy, and this was really too much for him. He began to wail and to scream, and all of a sudden the little boy began to speak to him. "As you were offering your food, you were asking me to come and accept your offering. So I have come. You always wanted to see me. So now look very carefully and I will reveal myself to you." At that moment, the child manifested as youthful Lord Sri Krishna with his flute. He had a wonderful eight-armed form, holding a disc, a club, a conch shell, and a lotus flower in four hands. In one hand, he had a fresh lump of freshly churned butter, and with the other hand, he put the butter in part of the butter into his mouth, and with the remaining two hands, he played very playfully on his transcendental flute. Now, surrounding him was the beautiful Vrindavan forest, the place of his most intimate pastimes with his loving associates, the birds, the trees, the gopis and the cowherd boys. And seeing all this, the Brahmana swooned in ecstasy when the Lord touched him. Only then he regained his consciousness. So then Lord Chaitanya, in this divine form, had a serious conversation with him. He said, "O Brahmana, you have been my servant for many births. When I appeared in Nanda's home in Vrindavan, you were also there. And you also offered at that time food, calling me. And when I came, You lamented and complained, said I spoiled your offering. Do you remember? Birth after birth, you have been my servant. Persons who are now my servant, no, persons who are not my servants cannot see my form. But no, what I just now told you and what you saw is only meant for your ears and only meant for your eyes. You cannot say it to anyone else. So with this, the Lord disappeared. And this Brahmana stopped his traveling. He stayed in Navadvip and he would live for the moment where the Lord left his house and where he could lovingly behold his form. My dear devotees, and my dear especially skeptics on the call, this was not the only time when the Lord showed or revealed divine forms. There is the Shataparahiya Bhava or Mahaprakash, where for 21 hours in a large assembly of many, many people, the Lord showed the various forms that corresponded to the ecstasy and the bhava and the love of his devotees. There was, for instance, a great Rambhakta, Murari Gupta, and the Lord showed him the form of Lord Ramachandra with a greenish hue and a golden bow. And he said, Murari, I'm your Lord. And Murari, just look a little behind you. When Murari looked behind him, he saw the curled tail of a monkey. Yes, you were Hanuman, said Lord Chaitanya in your previous life. In this way, many forms were shown, many extraordinary forms were shown. The Lord also alerted his various devotees to the time where he had appeared to them even before he had made his avatar. See, when you go back in your life, you will see that there were a few arrangements where you said, this could not have been accidental. There was a plan behind it. So Lord Chaitanya revealed one after another to his devotees extraordinary events that had happened way before, showing them that he had been with them all that time. Lord Chaitanya revealed himself in a six-armed form before many, many onlookers. It was in the house of Srivas Thakur. Two of the forms were the forms of Ramachandra, greenish. Two were the forms of Krishna playing his flute. Two were the arms I needed to say, not forms. Two arms were that of Ramachandra, two arms that of Krishna, and two arms that of sannyasi, renunciant with a stick and a water pot. So in this way, there was a very, very nice revelation of a six-armed form. He showed himself to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya as Krishna and the four-armed Vishnu, and as Ramananda Roy as Radha and Krishna. I go a little bit fast about this, through this, but you must know this is what God does. Typically, he shows various divine forms. What he has, for instance, he showed once Brahma came with the devatas And they came to Lord Krishna in the spiritual planets. There Krishna sat on a lotus flower, and constantly out of his body appeared forms like Narsingha, like Rama, and so on and so forth. So in this way, Krishna can show all the various forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And also Krishna Chaitanya, or Gauranga, is capable of showing all his forms in a very, very consistent manner. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his youth, did another extraordinary activity. See, when he was about around 16 years of age, he became the most learned scholar in the Harvard of India. Navadvip, the town where he appeared, was known as the town of scholars. Just like the town of Harvard or Princeton is also known as a place of study and of exploration and of science. So with 16 years he already opened his school on grammar and various rules of logic. And every evening he took his students down to the river Ganga and did his class next to the best of rivers. So at that time, Navadvip was highly, was in unrest, it was upset, because a great scholar, Keshava Kashmiri, had announced that he would come and that he would challenge all the leading scholars for a debate. This Keshava Kashmiri was not an unknown figure. He was known by the honorary title Digvijay, he who had conquered all the directions. It meant that he had gone all over the places of learning and engaged in excruciating debates with the scholars of his time, where he demonstrated his superiority of logic and so on. Keshava Kashmiri, it is said, was so highly victorious because he had obtained a boon from Saraswati, the goddess of learning, that he could not be defeated in debates. He had conquered everyone. So there were strict laws governing debates. They were almost as strict as the laws governing a boxing fight. I know in America you are famous all over the world for Muhammad Ali, a very talented boxer who knew how to move his fists with extraordinary speed and strength. And someone who entered a debate had to prepare or present a text and establish the original purpose of the text. He had to see where in the text reason and logic was used in order to make a proposition. He then had to show examples and analogies which further shed light on the theory. And then he had to show whether or not a new and clearer understanding of a particular subject had been presented. And all what he said had to be supported by Shastric quotations. So it was not an academic exercise when two scholars came and debated. The loser was obliged to become the student and disciple of the winner. It was a fight for blood, you could say, but on the intellectual level, it was heavy. So Keshava Kashmiri had heard about the young prodigy, but he looked down on grammar and logic. That was for children, he said. So he came to down to the river Ganges, and he listened to Nimai Pandit, who was sitting there amongst all his students, and he was thinking, how cute, this young man is really talking really very good. Then he interjected and said, you talk very nice on lesser subjects, but do you know something higher? He was an arrogant scholar. He had entered the town of Navadvip with a huge caravan where there were ox carts who carried his books. He said, can you please say something higher? Nimai Pandit smiled and he said, well, I'm young, but you please say something in praise of Mother Ganga. So confident of his intellectual strength, the scholar immediately recited 100 verses on Mother Ganga. The verses were flowing with a meter that was adapted to the sound of the Ganga rivers, waters, you know, the waves. And when he was finished with his 100 verses, he thought, wow, that was good, no? Nima Pandit said, could we please go back to the 64th verse? And he recited the 64th verse. He had remembered everything. And he said, if we look at this verse, there are so many faults in there. What? You dare to find fault in my immaculate presentation? Show me the faults. And then Nimai said, oh, you know better than me, but here this is highly inappropriate how you have expressed yourself, and there's so much redundancy here in what you have said. And he continued on one verse to draw out fault after fault, so that all the inflated pride, which was there like air in a balloon, left poor Keshava Kashmiri, and he just quickly left the place of his shameful defeat. And in the night he prayed to Saraswati, Saraswati, O goddess, you first make me the biggest champion of all times in knowing, and then you allow that I suffer defeat from a little 16-year-old boy. And then Saraswati said, Shuno, listen. This person whom you call a boy is not a boy. He is my worshipable Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You should be very happy that you have met him and that he has destroyed your false ego, so that you can now move on in the real purpose of human life. So Keshava Kashmiri, the next morning, it was really early, came and went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and surrendered to him. From that day on, Mahaprabhu blessed him and he became a humble itinerant monk who went everywhere. I want to end today with a very nice song, which I request our magician Venkatabhatta to show. It's slide number 2, Udila Aruna. This is a song which Lord Chaitanya would sing in the morning. Yes, in the morning time, when the sun was arising, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got up, called all his devotees together, who were already waiting before his house, but he brought them together and armed with madanga, with a drum and kartas, they would go in the surrounding villages and they would sing this very beautiful song. And something happened afterwards. Here is the song. Oh. You may sing with me. We will sing together, all together. Udilo Aruna Purababage. Please sing along. Dvijamani Gora Amani Jage Bakata Samuha Loya Sate Ngela Nagara Praje. As Venkatabhatta will put for us the second song, Jeev Jago, slide 3, I will read you the translation of this. When the reddish sun began to rise on the eastern horizon, Sri Gauranga, the jewel among the twice born, at once awoke. Taking his devotees with him, he went into the towns and villages of Navadvip. The medanga sounded and the karatas played in time. And Lord Chaitanya was dancing like you see on the picture with arms spread out. He was swaying back and forth. There were little anchor belts, see, at his feet, which made a very nice sound to the music. And he was flowing with prema, and he would call out to everyone what we will sing now. Please, everyone, sing. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, Gaura Chanda Bole, Kota Nidra Jao Maya, Pishachira Kole. Wake up, sleeping souls! Wake up! Wake up! All of you on the call, listen to Lord Gauranga. How long will you still sleep on the lap of the witch called Maya? Don't you know? You came into this world saying you will worship the Lord, but now you've forgotten this. You're so burdened by the resultant ignorance. To deliver you, I have descended. Who but me is your friend? And I've brought the medicine that will destroy the disease of Maya. Take these holy names. I beg you. Falling at the lotus feet of Sriman Mahaprabhu, Bhaktivinoda has begged for and accepted this Harinam. Thank you very much. I think we can all feel the urgency of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu getting at us, waking us, shaking us, entering our little self-constructed verse with a different message. This actually is maybe one of the greatest wonders of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his infectious urging us to sing the holy name. Now, once he came to one of his devotees, Shuklambara, who was a poor beggar but an enlightened soul. Outside beggar, inside enlightened. You find this very often, this combination. And he explained to him one verse which captured the essence of his mission. He said, we live in the age of Kali. That is an age where the mind is disturbed, constantly distracted, where people are lazy for spiritual life, and constantly in anxiety. And he said, in this age of Kali, there's no other means for self-realization than chanting the holy name. By repeating three times, he alluded to karma, to jnana, the path of intellectual speculation, and to yoga, meditation. No, the holy name is very, very powerful. But he said it must be chanted in a certain way. It can only be chanted if that false ego, which haunted this scholar so much, where so much self-importance is given, where you may say, I'm not so much thinking I'm so important. I'm thinking sometimes I'm quite useless, actually. But this is also false ego. False ego means your thoughts only revolve around a story which you have created. A story which has been even biologically entrenched in your neuropathways and so on. A story that has become psychologically engraved in your heart. But it is not that true. We are divine. We have a divine origin. We are part of God. And it is this ahankara, this I-maker or story-maker. Ahankara means story-maker or I-maker. No? That is so much a problem. And when you chant, for a moment we must exit this illusion. Therefore, the way to do it is by a path with four strains. Trinarapi sunichena, one who thinks himself lower than the grass, who is more tolerant than a tree, who does not expect personal honor, yet is always prepared to give all respects to others. Such a person can always chant the holy name of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya became very, very, very enthusiastic when he chanted this verse. He said, I raise my hand in the sky and I declare, everyone, please hear me. String this verse on the thread of the holy name and wear it on your neck for continuous remembrance. My dear devotees, Chaitanya Bhakti is so nice. It offers even to a little child a very, very great invitation. Join the world of ecstasy. Join the world of bliss. Join the world of divine love, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had given. Today we heard how he talked with an astrologer and revealed his form. We heard about how he revealed his various divine forms, starting with this Brahmana who had been worshipping in ritual worship the Lord for so long without having ever seen a divine revelation, an ecstatic revelation in his heart. We heard how he confronted an amazing scholar who had conquered the 10 directions through debates. Anyone who had a contact with the Lord, either in revelation or when the Lord taught them something, like he taught this scholar, it was in a state of divine bliss. I would like to stop this katha today with one little song which we will hear at the end. It is a song sung to us through the voice of a child. Sometimes children don't have developed such an imprisoning story. No? They are much more freer. Have you seen? Children are not so edited. Children are not so, let us say, constrained. They still know how to dance and how to laugh without a reason, out of the happiness from their heart. And I thought we would end this call by hearing a beautiful song. Only the first verse we will hear. Yes, our magician is putting it up for us. And now, if you could please put the sound as well, Venkatabhata, that would be wonderful.
Gaurangero Duti Pada Charadhana Sampada Je Janeva Kutira Sosar Gaurangero Madhur Lila Jarkone Praveshila Ridayane Malavelata.
You see the little boy here. He's Hari Dev. He is my friend. He lives in Vrindavan, India. And he sang a very profound song. This first line of it says, that person for whom the lotus feet of Sri Gauranga are his wealth and property knows the essence of Bhakti Rasa. That person for whom the sweet pastimes of Gauranga have entered the ears is pure in heart. I request our Venkatabhata to remove the picture. Again, this song is an amazing song. Once Giriraj Maharaj entered Prabhupada's room in Mumbai, and Prabhupada was listening to a recording of this song, which had been recorded live at the New York Temple. When it was over, Prabhupada looked up and said, when I'm no longer present, you can listen to this song and remember your spiritual master. I thought the organizers of this program, who called this program Gauranga Duti Pada, after this song, had been guided by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in their hearts. I'm sure you didn't know this little detail because it came only out a week ago or so. But see, why can we remember our spiritual master by this song? Well, it tells you the wonderful life, the wonderful purity, the wonderful love which those who are associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who are close to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, have. It is said that those who are worshipping Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that they are pure in their heart, and the essence of bhakti has entered their heart, and so on. It's a beautiful thought. I'm remembering the Princess Mirabai, who at an early age had decided to become a devotee of Lord Giridhari Krishna. She went through India singing her songs and was once asked, you're a princess and you live the renounced life of a saintly person. Why have you given up the comfort of a palace life? And she responded, I cannot follow the ways of the ordinary people because I have tasted the ecstasy of love for Giridhari Krishna, and I'm walking on the path of ecstasy, not the path of ordinary life. My dear listeners, my dear friends, my dear doubters also, and especially all those who are so distracted. I saw today in these little windows signs of the American distraction dream. I have watched you very carefully. Only Tsipi was focused. She is a university professor and knows how to listen. sometimes little humor is appropriate. It is a humorous, loving reminder that you can do better in your listening capacity, my dear audience. This is the offer of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, an ecstatic life, a life less ordinary, a life full of joy, a life free from the mental anxieties that are so typical to Kali Yuga. And therefore, this avatar, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is the essence of all the avatars of the Lord. I thank you very much. my dear audience, I have so many more notes which I wanted to explain today, but I got stuck in the ecstasy of Mahaprabhu's katha. But we have still another session where more can be explained. For now, I would like to thank Venkata Bhatta. You did extraordinary well. Everything was on time. It entered on time, the images, and they exited on time. We can see that you are the knower of all computer things. I will now turn to our Yashoda Dulal Prabhu, who will guide us through the next session.
Thank you so much, Sachinandan Maharaj. This was so nectarian. We're eagerly looking forward to the next two sessions. For those of you who are outside the United States of America, please don't go anywhere thinking that, oh, this is just a couple of announcements, because I have an important announcement that concerns you if you are outside of the US. So stay tuned for about a minute. So this idea, Maharaj, of the title of this series, Gaurangira Duti Pada, actually came from one of our team members, Gaur Kumar Prabhu. So, you know, you see some of us in the foreground, Doyal Gauranga, Venkata Bhatta.
Yes.
But yes, Gaur Kumar is very much a very key force in our team, as is Daniel, who's our technical guru in the background, and Gaur Sharan, the brahmachari from the Bhakti Center. So yeah, Gaur Kumar came up with this name and we all loved it. So we decided to go with this name. So with that, I want to share my screen. And as always, remind everyone that this series is organized by the Bhakti Center in Manhattan, and it's co-hosted with several yatras in the neighboring states, ISKCON of New Jersey, Tawako, ISKCON of Central New Jersey, ISKCON New York, which is the Brooklyn Temple, or rather Govinda Mandir, 26 Second Avenue, the first temple in the West, Bergen County, ISKCON, New Jersey, Richmond, Virginia, and Gitanagri Eco Farm in Pennsylvania. And now comes the announcement for people who are outside the United States. Please notice that there is a time change for those who are outside the United States. So in America, our clocks spring forward tomorrow, actually tonight, but after midnight. And therefore, for the next two sessions, I've highlighted only three of the time zones, but please check with your own time zone. You can go online and Google it. If you are in the United Kingdom, the program will now start at 1 p.m., not 2 p.m. If you are in Central Europe, it'll start at 2 p.m., not 3 p.m. And if you are in India, instead of 7:30, it'll now start at 6:30. So in the U.S., the start time remains the same, 9 o'clock. But because we change clocks and some parts of the world are only going to change after 2 weeks, we have this disconnect in timing. So please do note that you will be joining, most of you outside the US will be joining 1 hour earlier than what you've been used to so far for the next two sessions. But please do check your local time zones, because I do not know every single time zone that is changing. So with that, I have quite a few questions lined up for you, Maharaj. So Yelena from Estonia, she asks, how do we properly worship Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Krishna? We know that they are both one and the same, but they look different. They have different moods and different pastimes. It is difficult to meditate on both at the same time. Should we meditate on Krishna as God and Lord Chaitanya as the supreme devotee? Because during his life, Mahaprabhu discouraged devotees from calling him Krishna. Or what is the appropriate way to do this?
This is a question as big as the whole world. But I will try my best to give an answer that is practical. I had a crisis in my spiritual life where I had to ask this question. It was when I was maybe 20 years in Krishna consciousness, and I I took an inventory and found out that yes, externally I had done many things, I'd opened temples and so on, but my heart had not really changed as of yet. And I then needed to know what could be the way that my Krishna consciousness would yield better results. What could I do so that the attachments and anxieties and other things which were not favorable for my Krishna consciousness could leave me, and instead I could remember Krishna and be enthusiastic and like this. And I did a huge, let me say, exploration of our philosophy. I have to say to you, others than exalted souls in our movement, I had not joined because of the devotees. The devotees were very, very different from my social background, and they lived in poverty, and I was not accustomed to this, nor was I accustomed to every morning a cold shower. My nervous system was not built for this. It was difficult for me to stay with the devotees. It was not easy. It was not a shelter. It was an austerity for me. So I had therefore decided, I have come because of the process. If it works, I will stay. If it does not work, I will go and look for another process. And now I was after 20 years, and it had not worked for me. I was now considering what to do in my life. So I decided to research and explore Srila Prabhupada's books, and I found out what convinced me very much, that Krishna is very difficult to attain for a conditioned soul whose heart is not yet purified, and therefore Krishna comes in a form that can purify the heart. He comes in the form of the holy name to purify the heart, so that the heart becomes a good instrument to see the Lord and to be with the Lord. Now this holy name is propagated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How to chant it, in what mood to chant it. He becomes the teacher of the holy name. He is Krishna who sees that people are slow in learning, so therefore he has to teach them and show them by example how to relate to the holy name, how to chant the holy name, and how to spread the holy name. So this is how the two connect. The Lord wants that we return to him, but he sees that we are not able to do so, therefore he comes in a very accessible form, the holy name. But because this is so exalted, he teaches us as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He teaches us himself. So how to worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna? What I say to you, you will have heard many times, but maybe you will hear it for the first time today. You need to learn to chant with deep devotional absorption. That will make all the difference. And then you will worship the Lord, and your heart will become a place, a meeting place between the jiva, you, the living entity, and the Lord himself. Thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj. Anonymous question. In many places in the scriptures, seeing Krishna is described as the pinnacle or height of spiritual realization. You also mentioned it today when you talked about the Brahmanas seeing Mahaprabhu and Krishna's form. How specifically does seeing the Lord's form provide the highest joy? Also, our Srila Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, said we should not try to see Krishna, but act in such a way that he will be pleased to see us.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. This is a very good and relevant question. The Bhagavatam speaks twice about when the knot in the heart is pierced. At that time, the living entity can see the Lord. In the purport to this verse, it comes in the fourth canto and in the 11th canto. In the first canto, Prabhupada speaks about when you are face to face with the sun, the Krishna sun, then all the darkness of material life is gone. Now the word avidya, or ignorance, darkness, needs to be understood. What really is avidya? Avidya means a total forgetfulness of your real identity. Total. And the result is that you develop a false identity. When this avidya makes you lose yourself, and it gives you a replacement, a surrogate, which is false, and which becomes your story in life, the ahankara story. So this avidya is destroyed when you see the Lord. Now, in order to see the Lord and to come face to face and go back to Godhead, a certain attitude is required. That is, you should not want to see Him. It's looking. What can your eyes see? What can your eyes see at this moment? Your eyes can... really, please, you can't even see your thoughts, and yet they are so important in your life. You can't see the thoughts of another person. He can be there with a polite New York smile, and he can plan murder behind his skull. You know, you can't see your... The soul, the self, how can you see God? So if you run around trying to see God, you will never see Him. However, when you act in the proper way, He will become attentive to you. And when He becomes attentive, He will give you what you need to come back to Him, into His loving embrace. Yeah, so that is, I hope, a clear answer. Thank you so much. Yashoda Dulal, what is the next question?
Thank you, Maharaj. Vijaya Mehta asks, how should we understand the happening or the event of the six girls who were born to Sachimata and Jagannath Mishra before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared? Is this analogous to the story of Mother Devaki's six sons who were born before Balaram and Krishna?
I thank you very much, Vijay Mehta, for this question. I have tried to find out information, who were these six girls? And I must tell you, I have contacted Jayapataka Maharaj many years ago, and then he also did not know the answer, so he did some research, and there was one information from a very exalted god brother of Srila Prabhupada that they were highly elevated souls who had this task to perform in the Leela, to appear and then quickly disappear. But I must tell you honestly, I do not, there was not more information. We all know that before Krishna appeared, there were also six sons of Mother Devaki who were leaving, who were killed by Kamsa, actually, immediately after their birth. It sounds very, very similar, and there could be a connection, but more than just noting the similarity and noting that they must have had a role to play in the pastime. I'm not able to tell you more. I don't wish to give you some speculative answer. This is all I can say. I'm very sorry.
Thank you, Maharaj. Three devotees wrote in about false ego. So I'm combining their question. Dhaira Karem Barreto, Krishna, and Natalia Sharapko. Can you elaborate on false ego and how do we pray to Nimai to destroy our false ego? And how do we let go of our fear of this happening because we are holding on to our false ego so tightly?
When you are crossing a river and all you have is a float that disintegrates, you will be very, very, very scared to give up that float, although it is not functional. However, if you have a boat next to you, a boat which comes, then you can give up the float. So, is that an American word, float? That's when you tie something together and you sit on it?
Raft?
Raft, yes, a raft. I thank you very much for when you have such a dysfunctional raft, you are afraid to give it up and to jump off it. Of it only when you have a boat. So when you have only your false ego, you think, well, if I give this up, I become like a lumber without a shell, like a turtle without its shell. I'm without any protection. And most probably that is right. Especially we who suffer from such a low self-esteem and low confidence, when we are told to give up that this is false ego and we should give it up, we feel, oh my God, now the last straw on which I'm holding myself is gone. You have to develop an understanding of who you are as an eternal soul, so on, and not theoretically, but practically. And this comes only if you purify your heart. Then, through the processes of bhakti, the ninefold bhakti, it's amazing. Someone who is strong in his service and who found an identity in his service is not so much challenged by this issue of dealing with his false ego. Try to build up a service identity, but beware. False pride can also enter there, that you think, I'm the best servant, I'm the best cleaner of the temple, I'm the best flower garland maker, I'm the best orator, I'm the best leader of the devotees, and once there it is again, the ego has taken a new disguise. Instead, be intelligent. Find yourself a service where you can feel as a servant of Krishna and learn just four words. It's just for you. No? Do your service like this, with this mantra. It's just for you, meaning Krishna. And then you will slowly move into an understanding of that I'm your servant, and it will become embedded in your heart and ingrained in your heart, so that even at the moment of death, when you feel everything is going from you, you are not afraid. When I was a young boy, I wanted to cross the ocean on a little raft, which I had bound with reeds. You know, reeds? Yes? Good. And I was swimming in the Baltic Sea already, which goes into the Atlantic Ocean, and then I wanted to go to America. Because as a little boy, I had heard about America. So I was on this raft, and it was disintegrating. And by Krishna's inconceivable mercy, because I had told no one about my plan, they would have stopped me, my parents and everyone. By Krishna's mercy, a fisher boat found me as the reeds were sinking and so on. And I immediately, without hesitation, switched boats and went into the fisher boat. So when you have a false, this false ego doesn't serve us, doesn't carry us, doesn't help us to cross the ocean of illusion. Find the boat of seva, of service, and there you can start with your real ego, that you are a servant. And by doing it, you will develop the servant identity. Just like by doing push-ups, you will develop the necessary muscles for push-up. You will have, Kostuba does 100 push-ups a day. Ooh, very impressive. He has now, it's a very strong Kostuba. This comes by practice, no? This identity comes by practice, and then you are safe. As long as you go with your false ego, you are unsafe.
Thank you, Maharaj. If we can, we would like to ask maybe one or two more questions. There are others, and I apologize for not getting to them. Today we will run out of time. So Surabhi from Central New Jersey asks, Gauralila is such an esoteric topic. How can we ourselves access it properly and also make it more accessible to those who might be newer practitioners?
Mm-hmm. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu acts in various roles, if you so want. And some of them are very difficult, others are very easy to access. The role when he acts as God is difficult to access in this age of Kali. Therefore, he was hiding this role also. But when he acts as an, here comes my new word, paradigmic bhakta, you know, the exemplary devotee, chanting the holy names, and kirtan, being compassionate to fallen souls. I have a whole lot on this for the next installment of this series. Then he's easy to understand. And he's also easy to understand and very likable when he acts as a teacher. So, talk about the things where he acts, the pastimes where he acts as a paradigmic devotee, because that's how he wanted to be known also. Remember, he told those whom he showed his divine forms, and there were many, many. He said, please, don't tell this. Knowing very well that in Kali Yuga, people would have difficulties to access this divinity of his. Therefore, talk about him as an exemplary devotee and as a teacher.
Thank you, Maharaj. If I may, I will ask one last question. Divyanam Prabhu from Richmond, Virginia asks, how can we develop a sense of urgency in our spiritual practices and especially our chanting when many of us might, especially in the West, be living in a so-called comfortable situation and be a little complacent?
Yeah. This is such a wonderful question. Do you also notice this, Yashoda Dulal and everyone who's organizing this? There's such good questions and such serious devotees. I watched also the series on Nityananda and was Nityananda was really very impressed by the depths of the questions. First of all, urgency is always for a conditioned soul the motivating factor to change anything. Many, many come to spiritual life because they see that material life is misery, and they develop a sense of urgency, but that doesn't keep you in spiritual life. That may be good when you want to join. In spiritual life, you have to have other motivating factors of the urgency. And I can see nothing more efficient or effective than to have a good heart-to-heart talk with devotees who have seen a sense of urgency in their life. There is nothing that works as quick in installing a sense of seriousness, of eagerness, of urgency, than talking with them. I would like to tell you the conversation which I had with my older brother. I have a physical older brother who's also who's a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. And we are very different, very different. So I needed to phone him because my parents are very old now, and really old, and 96, my father, 96, I think, or 95, I'm not so good with numbers. But he is also very old, you know, but the body is not so good because he was in the Second World War and he was wounded a few times very heavily. So I feel I must help them to direct their consciousness towards Krishna, because I owe them this human form of life. And so I needed to know something from him, and I then asked him, by the way, what are you doing? He said, you won't believe what I'm doing. He's also very old. My older brother is maybe 70 years old. I'm not so good with numbers, but something like this. He's a little older than me, yeah. So he must be 70. And I said to him, "So tell me. I think I become just like you one day. I'm reading the Bhagavatam, and he's in some study course which requires him to get up very early in the morning, and he reads the Bhagavatam very early in the morning. He studies it, and he told me, I never thought that I could again get up that early, and I like it. I feel new life is in my veins. And as he was talking about it, I felt, wow, I can also get up superhuman early and study the Bhagavatam. At first I will do my rounds. I'm a holy name person, but there's my faith is there. But then I will read the Bhagavata, my faith is also there. I immediately felt it was coming to me. And this is what it is stated in the scriptures. By Sadhu Sangha, emptiness overflows with fullness. You know, when your heart is empty with urgency, it overflows with fullness, and some other blessings are there. But I remember this, it's called from the Yoga Vashishta Ramayan, a very not an often quoted scripture. And this is, you know, find some serious devotee and get into a serious talk. I always say, talk with them about something which you can only talk with devotees about. Don't talk with him about new mobile telephones and new applications on the mobile telephone, but talk to them on the spiritual path. And I can guarantee you, as they speak from their experience, something will come into your heart and that will overflow. That is, as to my knowledge, the best method, really. And you are not a beginner, otherwise you wouldn't be on the call here. For a beginner, this, you know, when my friend betrayed me, and I lost my inheritance, and then I went over the road, and then the car drove over my foot and the foot broke, and now I can understand material life is misery. Now I'm joining Krishna consciousness. That's for beginners, all right. You are not a beginner. You have to motivate yourself with other things. And these other perspectives come when you have Sangha or association. Good. So, unfortunately, our time is up. What to do?
I'm telling you. I know what we should do, Maharaj. We should invite you to come back next week.
Good, yes.
So, please, everybody, remember the announcement from Yashoda Dalal that tomorrow is the daylight savings times in the U.S., and so clocks will be changing on our side. For those here in America, and if you're outside the USA, please check your local timings to see if the program will be starting an hour earlier for you. So just that reminder for everybody, we will continue to do the program at 9 a.m. Eastern time, which will be EDT next week, Eastern Daylight Time. So take that into consideration. We'll continue next week, Saturday, on Gauranga's Leela. And so that will be the part that we will continue next week. We're so, so grateful to you, Maharaj. Your depth, your humor, your reflectiveness, your sincerity, your relatability, all of it is quite enlivening for all of us. And we're very, very, very grateful and glad to have you here. We would like to give everybody an opportunity to show their love and thank you. And so we will be unmuting everybody, and you can have the opportunity to say Hari Bol and thank you and show Maharaj your love. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much for a wonderful presentation.
Hare Krishna. I don't think everyone's been unmuted yet. We are anticipating. Let us unmute everybody.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
We are waiting for you next week.